She's a New Englander, so please don't tell my Jersey people we're even speaking on Twitter. Use the handle at Kate Rogerson TV. Kate, much appreciate the time. How's life treating you?
My Patriot. So it's getting a little bit more high strung with my dad and these text messages he sends me constantly, but all is good here in Eugene.
Tell him just to down a few more Sam Adams and everything will be A-okay. Where I'm from in New York, obviously a lot of options. It's where are you Jets, Giants, Mets, Yankees. So be it yourself, your friends, family members who are sports fans, were you kind of down the line Red Sox, Celtics, Patriots, and Bruins for hockey fans? Did you just root for the Boston teams? And was there a clear favorite of the Boston teams in your house?
Oh my gosh, if you are from Massachusetts especially and you don't root for any of our four hometown teams, it's like, what is wrong with you? It's like, are you okay? Like what happened? But for me, it's always been those four teams. I feel like in my era growing up, all we know are the Patriots winning, you know? It's like, I was born in 97, so all I know is six, seven Super Bowl titles from Tom Brady. I count the Bucks. That's still a victory for me. So I would say the Patriots get the most love. I mean, everyone loves each of the sports. Obviously, the Red Sox. Baseball season's a little long, but, I mean, once it's playoff, once October ball happens, it's crazy. I mean, I feel like it's hard to pick a favorite back home because we're very fortunate to have four teams who usually are playoff contenders for a championship.
Yeah, I was just thinking, not just in your lifetime, but, you know, by the time you were 10, 11 years old, you saw the Celtics win it in 08, the Bruins, 2012, the Bo Sox won it in 13 and 18. You're a spoiled Boston fan. Wow, Kate.
Oh, yeah, I am. You know, when we lose, like when the Bruins lost, I believe it was 2019 to the Blues, That was tough. But at the same time, it was St. Louis's first victory. So I kind of have the glass half full perspective where I'm like, you know what? It's good to share the wealth. Like, everybody deserves to kiss the rings at some point. So I can't complain.
That's awesome. So after the divorce between Belichick and Brady, of course, 2020 for New England, a little bit of a struggle. They draft Mac Jones. Tough start, strong middle, but they're in. So I guess your thoughts on getting right back into the postseason and how you're feeling about this trip to Buffalo Saturday night, where they actually won last month.
Right. Well, when they played that game in Buffalo, they only threw the ball three times because the wind was crazy, the weather was crazy. But I believe back home in Massachusetts, it's like 12 degrees today or something ridiculous. So environment-wise, atmosphere-wise, they'll be ready. The playoffs are a whole different contender when it comes to New England Patriots football because of their success and just that whole do-your-job mindset. I'm excited for this game. It's going to be a tough challenge. Obviously, both teams have pulled out a win, so may the best team win in their favor. I think it will be... I think Mac Jones has to play well for the Patriots to win, but at the same time, the Pats D shut down the Bills last time, so I have a feeling it's going to be like a final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. We'll find out who wins this game.
Well, as a Giants fan, let's just say I'm blue with envy. talking with Kate Rogerson of KZI Sports. So you were at the Pac-12 title game, which for those who watched the first Oregon-Utah game were probably confused, seemed like a network repeat. So you're prepping to cover the game. It was really soon after the disaster at Salt Lake. So, Kate, did you think the Ducks would turn the tables after 2 weeks? And were you surprised that the Utes ended up just smoking them a second time?
So I was at the game in Salt Lake City as well at Rice-Eccles Stadium. That was an unbelievable environment to be in, first off. But when Julian Minnenson and I were prepping for the game, getting ready, we were both in Vegas. We were so excited. And I had a really good feeling about the Ducks all week at their practices and just kind of the mantra, the mojo around the program. And then, as we all know, that Friday morning, all that Mario Cristobal information came out. And I kid you not, I looked at Julian about an hour before kicked off, and I looked at him. I said, I don't know if they can do this. Not because I didn't believe that their product on the field wouldn't be good enough, but there was so much more outside noise now and all these reports and things circulating. so many distractions. Now, I said to a few people, I go, wow, I didn't know they could play worse. And unfortunately, Duck fans, whether you agree with me or not, the Pac-12 championship was worse than that first game at Rice-Eccles Stadium. So obviously not the result anyone affiliated with Oregon football wanted, but at the end of the day, Utah was very deserving of that victory.
Yeah, and along those lines, obviously you didn't go to Pasadena because you live in Eugene, not Salt Lake City, but you think about what was happening at Salt Lake, you know, losing those two young men within a year of each other. They overcome those tragedies, and they take on a really talented and dangerous Ohio State team. And so, Kate, not only was it a great story, them making the Rose Bowl, but wow, that was about as entertaining a big game as you'll find with all the points and yards.
Oh, that was unbelievable. And I think it was so funny where people were kind of realizing, like, oh, wow, the Rose Bowl is almost more entertaining and a better football game than the two college football playoff semifinals. And that's not a dig at the FBS or the College Football Playoff Committee. I mean, take it how you want it. But the Rose Bowl was so phenomenal. And I always loved that game just because I feel like the Pac-12 champion and the champion of the Big Ten, usually as it is, it's just such a great contest and such a historic game. Like, everyone grows up watching the Rose Bowl, even me on the East Coast, watching the parade in the morning on New Year's Day. So hopefully one day I get to Pasadena and see that in person.
You know, I want to roll over to Oregon State because you were at the L.A. Bowl, and I know you started at KEZI prior to 2020, when even though they beat Oregon, it was a disappointing year. So beyond the game itself, the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, you posted the photo of that way over the top golden belt for the winner. Just how unique was it covering a game like that? Was that looked like it was just so fun, so Hollywood?
SoFi Stadium took my breath away. I can't believe how beautiful it is. I know someone's like, this is just like engineering masterpiece. Like, this is engineering heaven. It was so incredibly cool, in my opinion. I like SoFi better than Allegiant. I know both are new stadiums. But overall, the experience of the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl was a lot of fun. Of course, Jimmy Kimmel himself made some appearances in the game. Pre-game, he was in the marching band, I think, playing the clarinet with the Beaver marching band. That was a riot. They had the Jimmy Kimmel mascot. So it was a great fan experience and definitely something people from Beaver Nation can take away if they're in attendance for hopefully bigger and better and more success to come in that football program.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of piggyback on that. I mean, obviously, they didn't want to lose. They hadn't even been to a bowl since 2013. It was kind of a roller coaster season. They looked in great shape. Bad road losses, change coordinators, make the postseason. So kind of along the lines of what you just said, Kate, fair to say that despite the loss, things are upbeat and folks are really loving the direction Jonathan Smith has this thing going in.
Something I've noticed about the Oregon State program as a whole is they have this really interesting mindset where it's kind of like, okay, get the job done. I mean, everyone has that, but it seems like they truly are all on the same page. And I think part of that is because for so long, the guys that are now seniors, fifth years, weren't doing so well their freshman season. They were part of Jonathan Smith's kind of rebirth of the program. So I think going forward, you have this new shift in leadership and this buy-in to the culture and understanding what's at stake with this program. Because as we saw this past year, the Pac-12 North had three potential winners for that North crown. And going forward, with the new coaches, with transfers, I mean, there's so much that goes into it besides the X's and O's on the field. I think there is so much potential for the future of Oregon State football.
Couple final thoughts, Kate Rogerson, KEZI Sports. You were at Gill for Ducks and Beavs. Obviously, a very disappointing season for OSU after an Elite Eight run. And it looked like a couple times in the second half, Ducks might be about to put them away. But how about even with the loss, just kind of the effort the Beavs showed in taking this thing to the wire?
That by far was Oregon State's best performance on the season. They came out of the jump, at the first, I think, U4 timeout. It was tied at 12, and that was the best start I saw from Oregon State so far this season. It seems like they finally are playing with that passion and energy. And obviously, when you have the students back in session and Gill's jumping as it wasn't even that, I think, half capacity. It was pretty empty last night, obviously, the circumstances of the CFP and being a rescheduled game. However, Oregon State is slowly getting there, and it's kind of funny because we had the same issues last year with this team where they, I think they beat ASU, and then they got rocked by Arizona and flip-flopping, and it kind of feels like deja vu sometimes from the COVID postponements, and you don't know who's healthy, you don't know who's able to play, how many days of practice they've gotten, so hopefully things will get better for the Beavers. I think the talent is there. They just got to get that game time. They got to get that game prep and figure out what they want their identity to be from start to finish.
And lastly, on the other side, Oregon, it's kind of a rocky start. I mean, they've got no wiggle room if they want to get back to the big dance unless they win the Pac-12 tournament. So they had to win this one on the road. So while nearly dropping a game to a three-win team, they got the win. Curious as to kind of what the mood was after, maybe a sigh of relief, because now they've got this killer road trip to play two really good teams down in SoCal.
Yeah, so after the game, we had the opportunity to speak with Eric Williams Jr., who hit that go-ahead three-pointer with about 10 seconds left on the clock. And he said, hey, we needed this win bad. We knew that. And obviously the rivalry added some emotion and, you know what I mean, it made the stakes higher. However, Eric Williams brought up a good point. He was asked about that. Like, do the Ducks realize that they are on the cusp of making the tournament? And Williams said himself, the coaches might not be saying it, but all of us players, especially the returners and the leaders and him and Will Richardson are like, yeah, we know it's grind time. And, man, the Pac-12 looks good this year. And the AP poll's finally given us some respect we deserve out here. I know Bill Walton, I'm sure, is loving it. But the Ducks, I want to say they have time. But, I mean, before we know it, it's going to be the last week of February, and it's going to be the tournament in Vegas, and it's really going to be do or die.
Well, I love the fact that you realize Bill Walton is already living and dying with the AP poll. Folks, she's Kate Rogerson, does a terrific job covering a multitude of sports for KEZI. Check her out on the Tube, online, KEZI.com. On Twitter, her handle is at KateRogersonTV. Kate, much appreciate your time, your insight. Thanks for joining us. Keep up the great work, and of course, look forward to chatting again not too far down the road.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.